Welcome to another edition of Geopolitics and Empire. A reminder, again, I recently left TNT Radio after two fantastic years there, and I would like to double down now on Geopolitics and Empire, and so I need your support to continue producing and developing the podcast and everything else I want to do here. So do become a paid subscriber on Substack, $5 a month, buy me some coffees, send reinforcements via donor box. There's a lot of stuff I want to do. Open up a merchandise store and do weekly Zoom calls with members only, which I'll be starting up again. And we're joined now by Lieutenant Colonel Chris Kelzer. He's founder of Ready Husband, which provides a family prep plan, giving you a step-by-step guide to accelerate your family's preparedness for any crisis. He did 28 years, I believe, serving his country. Welcome to Geopolitics and Empire, Chris.
Thank you, sir. Great to be back with you, Avori.
You know, we chatted a couple times on TNT, and I enjoy the work that you're doing. I think I saw you first on different podcasts, and I called you up on TNT, and I think you and I see eye to eye on many things. You've got a fascinating experience, plus what your views today. And before getting into getting your take on what's happening in the world, if you want to just what you want to tell us about your background, expertise, experience.
Yeah, I'd love to give you a quick snapshot. Born in Montana, have a wife and two beautiful kids, and spent about 11 years active duty in the Marine Corps after going to a military academy. And I saw the U.S. military from the inside, being at the pointy tip of the proverbial spear out there doing the work that I was doing for the sake of the red, white, and blue, mom, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet, all that stuff. But now, as I've been awakened over the last 3, 4, 5 years, I see what I was really doing in serving Lockheed Martin and Congress and the admirals and generals at the Pentagon more. So I've got a unique background, having been out there in the military, in the Marine Corps, and not only the military, but also Lockheed Martin. I was there for a couple of years on the F-35 program, and I saw that biggest defense program in world history. And so now, that combined with the last about 13 or 14 years, I've had a very strong preparedness mindset for my family to make sure that I could lead, protect, and provide for them in any disaster, natural or man-made. And right now we're looking at man-made impending disasters, in my opinion. And then rolling into 2020, my wife started watching some of those crazy conspiracy type programs like Dave Janda. Then we got into Sean at SGT Report. He lives in the same area and is a good friend of ours now. And connected to you and a couple of others. So all that alt media and the truthers that are out there have really helped me understand what's going on, to the point of not just the United States and what's going on with our government, but the globalist effort, including Israel and Ukraine and everything else. So that's the foundation, I guess, on which I stand to bring these opinions on the current geopolitical situation and why we all need to prepare our families.
And just a few questions on your experience there. So, people that you know, maybe that are still serving, or others that have retired from service like yourself, do you sense that they are waking up, or that they can see this? And, you know, maybe some still decide to serve, knowing, having woken up. What's sort of your pulse on your former comrades in arms?
That's a great question. It's a little frustrating because I know a lot of my peers and folks I know today that came from a military background are still rah, rah, rah. USA is always right. We're saving the world. We need to send everything to Ukraine. I got friends that work in the defense industry and are getting their paychecks from Lockheed or Boeing or whomever. And so it's harder, I think, when you're on the inside and you rely on it, to think that America could possibly be wrong, because the propaganda for a century or more has been very, very strong to think that we're infallible and that we're God's right hand on earth, which is so not the case. So I have a few friends, like after I did the SGT report, January of last year, I had a friend of mine just send me a text out of the blue. He's a Navy Tomcat pilot. We were on an aircraft carrier together. He just chimed in, and his name's Scott Snow. He's been on Dave Janda's program as well. And so there are a few of my contemporaries that have eyes to see, But really, I couldn't put a percentage on it, but I think definitely the majority are still thinking that we are doing good work, and Russia is bad and China is bad and everybody else is bad and we are good. So that's a hard question to answer, but it is frustrating seeing what I see with my friends.
And to get your thought on the state of the American empire, more specifically, again, the military aspect, we'll get into the other stuff, but you know, the American military industrial complex, you mentioned, I think F-35s, there's been reports, you know, people saying that those things are not very good anymore. You've got the Russian SUs and what's your assessment of the state, the strength of the American military industrial complex? Our recruitment numbers are low. It's a woke military. It's not looking good. You know, I don't know. Maybe DARPA has aces up its sleeves that they're going to release at some point. But what would sort of be your assessment of, from a military perspective, the state of the U.S. empire?
I'd say you and most of your viewers probably familiar with Major General Smedley Butler of the Marine Corps, and he came out with the small book called War is a Racket. And this is a major general in the Marine Corps in the 1920s and then 30s speaking out about how war was a racket back then. He saw that he was just working for the politicians and the corporations to go into Dominican Republic and Nicaragua, Central America, even the Philippines, to make the way for U.S. imperialism. And he spoke out about it. That was 100 years ago, and it has only gained traction, only gained strength and size, and it's expanded to be the pharmacological industrial complex and the media industrial complex and the medical, and all of them are industrial complex at this point. The corporate, the fascism, the linking, like Mussolini said, linking of corporate entities with the government, that has only gained strength. And so the military today, you know, we could talk in detail about the F-35 program or other programs. Even when I was there, it was so obvious that if you thought of the F-35 program as a jobs and votes program and not a weapons program for the benefit of the warfighters and freedom, then the program made sense, because they stretch it out over as many years as they can, as much money as they can. They distribute it not just in the U.S., but globally, all the work share and everything. So it's jobs, votes, it's keeping Congress in a position, it's buying off people overseas. That is strictly geopolitical engineering is what major weapons programs are. And I think that reflects not only the capabilities of the assets the military gets, the reliability. There's all kinds of stories, F-35, F-22, and really all of them. And when you see Russia and some of their technological achievements, and how China, just in the last 20 years, has been able to crank up their Navy, crank up their military, the quality of their air forces, they're just not operating under the same corrupt system. There's corruption in any human system. It's a fallen world. But I'm not sure how a real conflagration would pan out going toe to toe with conventional forces, because like you said, it's a woke military. They've been recruiting, I forget the statistics, but it's something like 75 or 80% of the U.S. military is under the age of 25, let's call it. They're all young folks, and those young folks have been in a decayed and degraded academic brainwashing system in their, you know, their entire adult lives. We've been seeing it for the last few decades in the U.S., and it's been happening since the 60s and before. So the wokeness in the military members is so prevalent that it's going to cause real problems if they start taking enemy fire.
Yeah, I would very much agree with that assessment. And then, you know, the big question, starting off with war, that's on my mind today, because I just see escalation nonstop. We had the attacks in Russia. I was this morning a guest on Johnny Vedmore's TNT radio program discussing that. To me, it seems like as you alluded to earlier, every government has fallen. I believe every government has carried out false flag operations, state terrorism.
Right.
As the late Lance DeHaven Smith, who's been on the podcast, he passed a couple years back, he calls it state crimes against democracy, SCAD. I believe the 1999 Moscow apartment bombings were a Russian false flag. And so, you know, we can go on, we can spend an entire hour you know, Roman Empire, the discussing false flags. Romans did it. The Nazi Germans did it. The Japanese did it. Israel has done it. The U.S. has done it. European countries have done it. So on and so forth. But I feel like this was a Western false flag terrorist attack on Russia. And it just seems like it's escalation. Like someone wants to get the World War III party started. You're seeing Financial Times reports today, yesterday, Japan and the U.S. are now integrating their militaries under a new security upgrade, really the first since 1960, as if they're preparing for war with China now. And what sort of what patterns are you recognizing? Where are we headed when it comes to war?
Well, I think you hit the proverbial nail on the head by saying that they're trying to get World War III started. And this Moscow operation, I freely admit that it could have been a Russian false flag engineered by Putin and his cronies just to get the Russian people behind him. But it seems like they are strongly behind him already because he's standing for what's good for Russia. He's opposing the decadent Western states and or countries and the globalist New World Order. So I think it's far more likely that NATO and the West, the globalists, have not succeeded in goading him into escalating Ukraine beyond his fairly restrictive special military operation just to move into the eastern regions and save the Russian-speaking and ethnic Russian people from the shelling and bombing and murdering that's been going on since the U.S. engineered coup in 2014. So Putin is showing remarkable restraint, and I think he's behaving in a very self-controlled, intelligent, and wise manner. You just don't see that with the leadership in the West. This quote-unquote Joe Biden puppet that we have, you got the Emmanuel Macron in the case of pedophilia, whether his husband, wife is a man or a woman, either way, it's horrible. What, 40-year-old with a 15-year-old starting out? And so the leadership in the West is so off the charts, ridiculous. We have this satanic humiliation ritual going on with the leadership in the West and these countries, including our own. And Putin is the only one, if you listen to transcriptions of his speeches, and I don't speak Russian, so I could be getting misled with the translation, of course. He's the only one talking about real conservative, even Christian values and calling out the globalists and the pedophile elite for what they're trying to do, especially with Ukraine. So I really think it was a Western operation using Ukrainians and Tajikistanians or whoever else was in that thing. They just recruited lambs for the slaughter, basically, to send them in and paid them handsomely to do so. So I got to believe it originated with MI6, CIA, you know, it's the globalist tools that are doing this to try to get him to start launching stuff. And if I can add one thing about the big picture why, everything we see is coming from the globalists that really want, they see us as human resources, just like corporations have their HR departments and they're called human resources and not people assets or something like that. Assets are things that you cultivate, and a good business owner thinks about his people as assets to love and cherish and improve and retain, and they add value. You serve them, they add value to you. That's an asset. A resource is something that you consume. It's coal, it's timber. So the fact that they name us, the corporations name us human resources, that's how the globalists view us, human resources for their consumption. And you look back through human history, the wars, the tens and hundreds of millions of lives taken, that's just the globalists expending their human resources. And that's what they want now, to get them a totalitarian one world government, which clearly is biblical to anybody that reads their Bibles. That's the direction we're going. So we're seeing exactly what we should expect to see, especially if we're coming from a Christ-centered worldview and believe the Bible.
There's so much there. Let's just go there now, since you mentioned the world government. And again, that's one of my main themes on this podcast. What I've been most obsessed with is, you know, geopolitics and empire. Empire is synonymous with world government. Empire, it's a world empire. That's where we're heading. And, you know, I recently read an article from Democracy Without Borders, who's pushing for world government. I've had the co-founder on this podcast, Andreas Bummel. I read his book where he's promoting. I think he really believes in the idea. of world government, and they're trying to create a UN parliamentary assembly to create a proper world federation, world state. But they recently discussed how we should have a planetary commons, and they've got three or four, you know, main pretexts. They say world government, basically, it's this simple. We need a world government because climate change, or we need world government because public health pandemic.
Yep.
Or we need world government because the threat of nuclear war. They literally, you know, academic official papers, they openly say this. And so we see it being built now, all of the WHO pandemic treaty, you know, many other angles. They're piecing it together. The European Union is a prototype. We see in Latin America, you know, people are fooled by some of these seemingly populist anti-globalist leaders like my Mexican president, AMLO. He came out last year saying we need to copy the EU and integrate Canada, USA, and Mexico.
Yeah.
Last July, we had El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, who, you know, he's doing a lot of good things. But guess what he said last July? He said we should copy the EU and create a Central American Union. The South Americans did the same. Even Putin is pushing a Eurasian union. And so, you know, just your further thought on world government and how you how do you see that going forward?
Yeah, the totalitarians, they're going to totalitarian, right? They're going to do whatever they can to gain power and use and deploy and consume their human resources to gain that power, whether it's COVID or Ukraine or Gaza or you name it. That's their whole goal. And again, that's the Antichrist spirit of enslavement that they're working towards. And so when you have those different nation state leaders, somehow they've either been bought off or corrupted or threatened, and they get on board. Javier Milei, I think in Argentina, seems very libertarian, but then you see him with the Israeli head cup thing on and going to the Wailing Wall and doing what all the world leaders have to do to go and bow down before the synagogue of Satan. I would contend that particular government is. And so this is the move that we're up against, the taking away of individual liberty and the whole thought of the greater good. It's always about the greater good and serving the greater good. And wear your mask for grandma, otherwise you're endangering the rest, everybody else around you. All these themes and slogans and really marketing climate change. We're killing the climate. We need to stop farmers from growing food. We need to blot out the sun in order to save the earth, which clearly is only going to kill people because that's how we grow food. And so the insanity is upside down world of Satan is crazy. And Satan takes anything of God and reverses it 180 degrees. You know, instead of Father God, it's Mother Earth. Instead of Christ's birthday, it's replaced with Santa Claus. Christ's resurrection day, replaced with Easter and the bunny. And all these other pagan things. So instead of individual liberty and national liberties and a free market libertarian type system focused on liberties, Satan is going to replace that with the Antichrist spirit of gaining control and making this world collective, this one world government. And again, it's right out of the Bible.
And boy is girl, and girl is boy.
Exactly.
And human is now post-trans human. Everything is inverted. And my view is, people call me Black Bill. I've had Legal Man on, who's great, Jones Plantation film, and he says he's cyanide pilled, and so I've co-opted that. I'm also cyanide pilled, but I'm also white pilled. So, you know, I'm black pilled and white. I'm cyanide pilled and white pilled. I want to get your thought. Like, I feel like, because the Bible says that it's just going to progressively get worse until Christ comes back, and so my view is that. And the material plane, things are just going to keep getting worse slowly. That's the black pill part. And then the white pill part is, well, Christ is the Gandalf. He comes back in white robes. He's the white pill. And so, you know, he said, whenever that is, whether it's in our lifetime or the next generation, would you share that same view or do you have a different take?
No, actually, I share that view. And I just keep coming back to the book of John in John 12, 14 and 16. Christ calls the devil the ruler of this world. And in John 8, he says the devil is the father of lies and says that the Pharisees, their father is the devil. So what we see in religion and government are the descendants of the Pharisees trying to take control, burden people with regulations and laws for the greater good. And so what we see in the world and this continual effort towards totalitarianism is what we really should expect, because if the devil is the ruler of this world, then all worldly institutions and governments are going to be doing his will. By definition, if he's a ruler, they're doing his will. And if he's the father of lies, then they're going to lie. The governments, their state-owned corporate media arms, Hollywood, Wall Street, Oprah, they're all just lying to us. So it's a biblical foundation, whether you just consider those two things, the devil being the ruler of this world and the father of lies, or where it talks about the Antichrist spirit, the one world government, the union of nations against Christ. It's what we should expect. And I was talking actually to my Uber driver last night coming back from the airport, who was fun to talk to, because you don't ever want to just get yourself in an echo chamber with people that are like you. But considering most of the Uber drivers in the metropolitan area, I have trouble understanding a lot of them. My hearing's not that great, so it's hard to carry in a conversation in a car. But this guy spoke intelligently, and we talked about a lot of the things we're talking about now, to include Gaza and Israel and trying to help them understand some of that. But people like that, he doesn't have a biblical framework, so his level of anxiety is a lot higher. I look at all this stuff going on, and I compare it to the Bible, and I think, okay, this is exactly what I should expect. I need to oppose it. I need to help people prepare their families. I need to talk to great people like you and your audiences to help the information get out there. But I just need to do the best that I can with what God has given me and then trust him with the rest, knowing that this is the path for human history that was prophesied 2 to 3+ thousand years ago throughout the entirety of the Old and New Testaments.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point where I don't maybe have enough finances to make the best preps that I can, but I'm not anxious because, again, my peace comes from eternity, right? Christ, whereas other people in alt media who are awake, I see them sometimes send me email or in the chat, freaking out. And it's like, think about some of the things that we're talking about. And before getting to some of the solutions, just a few more things that sort of freak me out is, and I think one of the biggest threats, World War III, yeah, that's bad. People can always relocate. But I think for me, one of the top threats globally, no matter where anyone is the digital ID, CBDC, as my past guest, Edwin Black, calls it, the algorithm ghetto, the biosecurity, dystopian control grid. And you got the whole cyber polygon stuff that they're talking about, where every nation is implementing this now. And, I live in the smart city here in Mexico. It's called they play these word games. Resilient city is a smart. Yeah. I live in a resilient city, which is a smart city. I was reading in, that British actor is going to, in his home in Africa, he's about to create a smart city. And in Vancouver, I think, they camouflage it. They're saying they have this new indigenous property that they're developing. It's a smart city. And so all our governments are bringing in digital ID. And so, just thoughts on this sort of cashless system. It seems like sometimes they do get, it's two steps forward, one step back. It doesn't always go the way they want it. And it does seem to be a precarious system. Even if they do implement it, it doesn't feel like it's, there's a lot of things that will be going wrong. Any thoughts on this sort of digital cashless system they're trying to implement?
Well, it's just one more grand tool of totalitarianism, complete control, just like the quote unquote vaccines masquerading, the bioweapons masquerading as vaccines that they're now trying to get into our vegetables and our meat supply and the water and everything else. That's a way to control people through their health and through fear. The digital ID thing and just being able to access the internet potentially with having some kind of a digital ID, and the digital currency, clearly anybody that does 30 minutes of resource on the CBDC concept has to see that as so Orwellian, because the ability of a government to track every one of my transactions, to shut off my account, to time out my money if I don't use it or start devaluing it, and then to have total control over what I'm doing financially, that is so dystopian and so wrong and so it is so instituting of slavery that anybody should see that. But then people are just jumping on board. Oh, it's like Bitcoin. This is going to be great. I don't have to carry anything in my wallet. I can have a chip in my hand and I can pay that way. This is going to be awesome. The level of numbness to what's going on that most people have is mind-boggling, which is exactly what the globalists have working in their favor. So there will always be people trying to subvert the system. As the CBDC system comes in, there's going to be people trading, maybe in Bitcoin if the grid is still up, gold, silver, commodities, fuel, ammo, you name it. There's going to be a black market going on, and the black markets always exist. You read about them in communist China, behind the Iron Curtain, in any kind of war zone. American logisticians are always skimming from the warehouses and selling it to people on a black market too. It's gone on since the dawn of time. So there will be a black market, and they're going to come out, and that's when people start getting 9mm put in the back of their heads for trading on the black market or getting stuffed in jail. Or that's when the totalitarian system, the Orwellian totalitarian system, really comes to bear. And so we're going to have all those things as we transition to a CBDC. And those of us that are liberty minded and want to be able to grow our own food without the state inspecting our potatoes, and trade with people and have raw milk and all those good wholesome things that are good for our body that God gave us, the state doesn't want any of that. And so it's just up to us to rebel at the local level.
And, you know, just on the whole social credit thing, I'm already noticing that this is already it's increasing. You know, I use some fintechs, and it's almost like every other transaction now they're pausing, asking me to explain myself. My last check from TNT Radio, it got paused by my fintech. Never happened before. They wanted more information, and so it's just like, you know, it's slowly. Behind the scenes, they're already implementing it, and it's just one day they're gonna be like, voila, you're in it now.
Yeah, even at neighborhood banks in the Midwest, we withdraw $1,000 or some small amount. Oh, what are you going to use it for? And they're not just making small. There's a little checklist on their withdrawal thing. And I saw a video about somebody trying to take some money out in Australia, and it's even more totalitarian down there and restrictive. And that's, they're trying to normalize this. And one more terrorist attack, one more Patriot Act number two, which is how we got all these financial restrictions, at least in the US, a lot of them. That's all it takes for people to go, oh, I'm scared. I'm going to give up my financial liberty and let the government take a look at everything I'm doing, which is what CBDC will do. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's going on. And you know, one more question before getting to the preps, the economy, because, you know, I want to cover the bases first, you know, war, dystopia, economy, the problems first. And it seems like we're reaching the breaking point. You know, many people have been talking about this for decades. The end hasn't come yet. But, you know, today I was looking at, you know, Kazakhstan, my former home where I used to live for a couple of years. It's, you know, they're increasing, both the government and citizens are increasing massively their gold holdings. This is happening globally. You know, Financial Times reports today that the aristocracy, Peter Thiel, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg are leading a parade of corporate insiders who have sold hundreds of millions of dollars of their company's shares this quarter.
Walmart.
In a signal that recent stock market exuberance could be peaking. So you see the big guys pulling their money. Gold is being bought. Bitcoin is hitting records. And it just seems like we're slowly getting to that. And I think that ties together to the uptick in war, how these same elites need to get to World War III as the economy is collapsing. Thoughts on the state of the economy?
Yeah, that last point you made about needing to instigate World War III as a cover or in order to blame the financial crash on anything but the leadership, quote unquote leadership, the governments, the globalists. That's exactly what they need. And I did a very short video that's posted on the website. Top two biggest reasons is what it's called. And it's about why you should prepare. And the two biggest reasons are the invasion, the U.S. at least, the open borders, the invasion of military age males, and then what that's leading into, the financial crash. And so anybody that looks at the U.S. dollar and what it is, the FRN, the Federal Reserve Note, and most people think it's actually money. People talk about it as being money. But if you study money at all, you know that the characteristics of money are not resident in the US dollar. It is a fiat currency. It's fake. It's only worth, it's only backed by the strength and reputation of the US government and the US military. And clearly that's degraded, degrading rapidly. So you have a currency that's not backed by anything, not, it's been off the gold standard since the early 70s. And now we have 34 in the US, we have $34 trillion worth of things we should not have. That's a lot of BMWs. That's a lot of homes. It's a lot of new kitchens. It's a lot of trips to Mexico or wherever. $34 trillion in debt, hundreds of trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities, almost $1 trillion in debt service each year with interest rates that are still relatively low. There's just no way that would ever get paid back. Any thinking person can look at that and go, we're never paying this back. We're never going to balance a budget because they're still spending $1 trillion more than we have every 90 to 100 days. If you take a number of the financial accounts into this whole thing. So it is a system that mathematically has to fail. It's amazing that it's been inflated this long and this well, but mathematically it has to fail. And if we bring the Bible back into it, Proverbs 11, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. The US dollar is the falsest balance in world history. They can print it. The commoners, we can't. And so it is, you don't have a more false balance than that. So mathematically and biblically, the US debt-based dollar system, it just has to fail. And it's going to fail in the perfect timing for the globalist cult so that they can then blame all the troubles on Trump or Russia or whatever war you want to name or disease X when it comes out. And it's only going to play into their hand because they want the US dollar to fail so they can usher in their CBDC. It's a brilliant plan that could not have been done by any one human or any one committee of humans, even the 300. So it just seems so supernaturally intelligent and brilliant and evil that Satan is the only explanation pulling the strings of all these puppets.
Yeah, there's a few smart people like Andy Scheckman and others who have been explaining, and I think he's spot on. If you think about it, this de-dollarization process and BRICS, like if you're the West, it almost seems like they are deliberately, as you just mentioned, they are deliberately pushing, the West is, de-dollarization and BRICS to bring this about because they've got other plans. There is also this prophecy, and it might be what we are on the cusp of, that discusses that the global Babylon has fallen, and no one buys or wears, and the global economic system just basically collapses in it. If you look back in history, I don't think we've had anything this big, this globalized ever in history. Maybe it isn't. But then thinking of what people can do when it comes to your preps, you've got your website. Again, the links are in the description, readyhusband.wordpress.com for $25. They can get the plan. I've got a copy. I'll be dusting it off again as I have to. It's springtime, spring cleaning. I need to recheck my inventory and stocks of what I've got. But your list is very useful because it's different for people in different jurisdictions, geographies, financial ability. You have to tailor it to where you are, preparing, but it's useful, your list, because I'll think about what I need, where I am. As Teddy Roosevelt used to say, do what you can with what you got where you are, and then I'll look at your list and I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that, and I probably could look at this. And so tell us a bit about just main principles of how people can now wisely prepare for the road up ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. The whole vision is to help people all over the world, not just Americans, but all over the world, accelerate their own preparedness. And prepping can be an intimidating thing to consider because there's so many different things that you can do. But this plan is not about moving out west or getting remote and getting a ranch and putting claymore mines on your road and having drone surveillance and all those advanced things, which some people do, and that's a good goal. But it's just stuff that I've done as a normal suburban dad. And I've actually added an even more easy way to get to it. It's familyprepplan.info. If they go there, it'll direct them to the WordPress site, familyprepplan.info. And in the upper right corner, you can click on get the free outline, and it'll take you to the full 7-part outline. It just lacks some of the depth and links in each one of those 7 parts, but you can take a look at that. There's also on that homepage, the familyprepplan.info, there are a few videos, one of which is the top 10 action items to do right away. And that's all free. You can just go through those top 10 items. And if you do half of those, you're going to be ahead of 999 out of 1,000 people around you. So just take some action. I've tried to make it extremely simple, practical, where you can go step by step. And as you add resources and get more time, you can get more into the details to prepare your family for any disaster. It's not just for the stuff that we're talking about. It can be a blizzard in Minnesota and it's minus 20 and the grid goes down and now we don't have any heat. It can be a hurricane in Florida. It can be a tornado in Oklahoma. Anything like that, people all over the world need to prepare for. But some of the really big picture stuff, I try to make this appropriate for accelerating your preparedness, even for the fall of the US dollar, for chaos in the streets, for an EMP going off, those kinds of more doom-filled type scenarios, which we all got to consider, but consider from the standpoint of faith. And that's why the first category to prepare is personal. It's heart, soul, mind, and strength, and understanding Christ as Savior. And the only hope it truly is the blessed hope. And from there, you get into sites like yours and SGT Report and helping mentally you understand and these people understand what's going on. And then that's the first place we need to prepare. And then it gets into provision and equipment and team and shelter and all those other categories we need to look at.
Yeah, you just made me think of some of my past interviews with folks like Alex Thompson of UK Column, who's former GCHQ officer, who's Christian, and he also stresses the point of faith and that, you know, that way you don't have anxiety. You know, Patrick Wood of Technocracy, who's a Christian, who I've had on, we've discussed this, or Pastor Arthur Pawlowski, who I've had on the podcast, where it's like all of what you said. Resist tyranny as best you can. I think we need to avoid going to extremes. And so do what you can with what you got where you are. Resist tyranny. Sensibly make preparations. You know, you're not going to spend all day working on your bunker. I think you shouldn't. You know, you should be enjoying life, being social, hanging out, doing barbecues, going to church, whatever. That sort of stuff. And then what about the home front, you would say? That's another question. Just, you know, there's talk of second civil war. I had a guest on recently, Jeffrey E. Paul, who says we're one step removed from a fascism in America. I actually think that's more accurate than communism. And there's this great Twitter account, a guy who worked in the government. I forget, Publius, I think, is Cynical Publius or something. And he says,
yep,
we should call the Dems fascists. And that gets them angry because that's what they call us. I've had accounts try to call me a fascist, and I'm like, no, what are you talking about? And so, you know, Trump elections, we're going to see all sorts of shenanigans. We can already see the DHS is getting involved with big tech. They're going to start policing the information space. We're going to see, I think, censorship increase now as we move in. And we might see open political, you know, violence, warfare on the streets. I have no idea what to expect. The Civil War movie is coming out in a couple weeks. Thoughts on the situation in the, as I like to call it, the United Soviet States of America.
That's exactly what it is. USSA. It's gotten there. And I'm not sure that we're one step away from fascism. I think we're there and people just don't realize it. We still think freedom and we have stamps on our mail that say freedom and we celebrate July 4th like we're free. But when the effective tax rate is probably 80%+ for somebody that's working and I can't even own a canoe without paying some kind of tax or property tax or permit or something to the government, I certainly don't own my house. Even if it's free and clear, you don't own your house because the government can take it from property taxes. So this whole notion of being free is it's been obliterated over the course of, well, 1913 was the worst year ever in terms of that. So it's gone back a long, long time. And so I think we're already there in certain respects, and they're just trying to accelerate us to get to a complete fascist, totalitarian control, smart cities everywhere, CBDC, chips in our hands or heads, mark of the beast, you name it. That's where they're trying to send us.
And we were talking before we started this chat. And, you know, this is, I think, also important for people listening. The state of media, more importantly, alternative media, independent media, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we see it. It's a difficult space, censorship and all. Now we're seeing sort of the mainstream move into alternative media. You know, David Icke has used new Mammy's mainstream alternative media. So there's that. And for me also, I've been noticing how within alternative media now, there's been a large push. There's a, you know, it's now coming to the surface, this Gnosticism, theosophy,
yeah,
New Age. It's, you know, in your, this great awakening stuff. Alex Jones has wittingly or unwittingly been promoting it. You know, General Michael Flynn, there's a, right, you know, at one of the tours, he was literally reciting a theosophy prayer. And then at a lot of alt media conferences, they're pushing a lot of this, which is a lot of basically New Age theosophical stuff, which it kind of like people need to, even people who aren't Christians need to stop and think, wait a minute, the elites are theosophists. Luciferians, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been to Lucis Trust meeting, Lucifer Publishing Company, Alice Bailey. Wow. I've been to one of their meetings in 2009 in Geneva when I was a student there. I've got a pamphlet. And they literally believe that Lucifer is, again, it doesn't matter if you don't believe this stuff. This is what they believe. They literally, and it's a UN NGO. And so they literally believe, right, that Lucifer is the Christ, is the Messiah. They say in their newsletters that all of these conferences, they call it cycle of conferences, that the UN World Economic Forum conferences, their purpose is to prepare for the coming of the Christ, Lucifer, and that he's already here. They're just waiting for the right moment for him to be unveiled to sort of bring the world together. And then a lot of alt media. So if from the top, you know, as above, so below, right? Aleister Crowley. And so if the, right, elites believe in theosophy, and now from bottom up, alt media is pushing theosophy. And a lot of, you know, I think well-meaning people in alt media, I think it hasn't really clicked. So any thoughts on this and anything else when it comes to alternative media?
Yeah, the alt media is a double-edged sword for all those reasons you just talked about. Right now, even with censorship, people have access to your program, to SGT, to Dave Janet, to Mike Adams. And we're getting truth and people like Michael Yeon coming in and talking about the invasion because he's at the border watching all the Chinese military age males come across freely. And so the information is out there, and that's good because people's eyes are being opened. The problem part of it is when it does go into the putting all of our hopes on Trump or putting all of our hopes on this great awakening and light from darkness and all the Freemasonry, Luciferian stuff, the age of Aquarius, the great age of enlightenment. And so that's the danger if people step in that direction. And I think that's at least a little bit, it has to be what Jesus was talking about, that these events would deceive, if possible, even the elect. So strong believers that know their Bible should see these events and be able to discern truth from fallacy or truth from deception, because the deception, I think, for Christians, especially Christians in mainline denominational churchy churches all across America with their pastors in their skinny jeans and man scarves and that kind of thing, they're going to think that, oh, this is great. Trump's back in there, or it's this new dawning of awareness, and we defeated the totalitarians. But that might be exactly what Satan wants them to think, because Satan is that alt reality, that deception, promising all those things. And there's a guy on Twitter, Donnie Darkened, who is phenomenally biblically grounded, and that's kind of his, not kind of, it's exactly his point, that we need to be aware of the great awakening against the great reset. The great awakening could be what brings the mark of the beast.
I had Donnie on my TNT show, I think last year, and I'll get him on the podcast at some point. He just did a 3-hour interview. I haven't had time to watch yet this week with Will Spencer, who I've also had on my TNT show, the both of them. He just did that 3-hour interview. So I think, you know, people can go there, and then I'll get Donnie on Geopolitics and Empire at some point. And so, you know, any other thoughts, whether it's on prophecy or what's happening with Israel and Iran? You know, I know that's a touchy subject Israel. I personally believe that the state of Israel coming together is some sort of, maybe it's a supernatural event from God, but the people running it are just like any other states. And they're doing bad things. They're killing Palestinian Christians, innocent people, but in some way this is why I just kind of, I'm like, hands off. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. I think Israel coming together is maybe supernatural, but they're still acting in a way that is anti-Christian. But again, the Bible is replete of scenarios where, Israel itself is judged using other nations. And so, and then things will just develop. And so this is why kind of like, I don't really have an opinion here, except on the basic things. Like, you can't go around just taking down homes of people who have lived there for centuries, Palestinians, and that sort of stuff. Any other thoughts, whether it's Israel prophecy or anything else you think is important?
Yeah, most American Christians get very offended very fast if you start talking bad about the nation of Israel. The conservative media, and liberal media, they start throwing the term anti-Semite around really fast. And they have an inability to separate the current government of Israel from the God's chosen people, Israel. And if you look at the current government, and a friend of mine, Jeremy Slade and Jay Slay USA, I've been on with him a couple of times. He's been doing a lot of deep dives with different people on the history of the government of Israel, going back to the Balfour Declaration. The crown is behind it. The Rothschilds are behind it. They didn't set up Israel for the good of humanity or the good of the Jews. They set up Israel to be the epicenter of their globalist designs, which we may be seeing coming to fruition right now with this red heifer to be sacrificed. Because they want to bring back their Messiah, which for the Talmudic Jews is Lucifer. And so what we're seeing, like you're talking about with the prophecies, gathering the ethnic Israelites, the Jews into one area, it's got to be supernatural. And they're God's chosen people. They're in the book of Revelation, 144,000 of Israel sealed. But that does not mean that the government of Israel, which is depraved, all the sins and abominations that the Bible talks about, they are promoting and allowing and lifting up. And so the fact that Israel is a globalist effort and has been from inception, I think is inarguable. If you do some research, the problem is the American church, and going back in the 1800s and what was it, Darby and the Scofield Bible or some other kind of Bible versions and translations to promote this, the American church is just not seeing that. But all you have to do is look at October 7th and understand that the Mossad is a phenomenal intelligence agency and has demonstrated that for decades and decades, and that Gaza has been an open-air prison camp. You can't move a cockroach across the border at Gaza without them knowing about it in a microsecond. And for us to believe that this was an intelligence failure by the Israelis, by the IDF and the Mossad, that they could drive caterpillars across, like caterpillar cats, bulldozers across the border and launch 1,000 paragliders with guys with AKs, and the Israelis weren't going to know about that, that's ridiculous. So to believe that this is an intelligence failure, we can believe that it's Israel's 9/11, which is how a lot of the people in the media were labeling it. It is, because 9/11 was engineered. If you look at Building 7, obviously that was engineered to do all the things that they're able to do to us. So if you look at October 7th and see that the story in the media is complete BS, and then you look at who's benefiting, why would they benefit? And this is one of the conversations I had with a cab driver last night. He said, why would it be engineered by Israel? How do they benefit? There's four big things. Number one, they want to end this Palestinian problem once and for all. It's the genocide. It's dropping American-made 2,000-pound bombs building by building and murdering wholesale in there. They want to get rid of the Palestinians. It's been a problem since 1948 when they had to move them out of their land that their families had been on for centuries and even millennia. Where'd all those people go? The ones that they didn't kill, they stuffed them in Gaza eventually over the course of a few wars. They want to get rid of the Palestinian problem. There are riches in energy offshore that they want to claim. It's beautiful seaside real estate. So you're talking about smart cities, just like Maui and Acapulco and maybe Chile. They're trying to set up and acquire territory for beautiful WEF dream smart cities. And then the Ben-Gurion Canal that they have designs for, you can see what they've sketched out. It goes right through Gaza. So if they're going to build a canal to avoid the Suez Canal, those four things with resources, money, control, and power is how the Israelis, the globalists, benefit from taking down Gaza. And it's not their right of self-defense. And I'm not saying there was not people murdered. I'm not saying that Hamas is not evil, because there are evil humans all over the place doing the will of Satan. And so terrible things happen, just like terrible things happen on 9/11. But they engineered this whole thing for a reason.
Yeah, Jared Kushner recently just came out last week talking about the waterfront properties on Gaza. Oh, really? And yeah, oh. And so, you know, there you go. And, you know, I was in West Bank. I visited Israel. It was a wonderful time and place. And I went to Bethlehem, which is in the West Bank. And, you know, I did experience, I had to go through a checkpoint. It was pretty, you know, wild. And just to your statement, you know, when I mentioned earlier, all governments are corrupt and evil to different degrees. You know, like we said, you know, Russia carries out false flags, as does America and Europe. Israel carried out atrocities, so did Hamas. And so, you know, so on and so forth. And so we've covered, I think, pretty much everything. Any final thought then for us?
I would sum it all up by just restating what I said earlier. The devil is the ruler of this world, and he's the father of lies. So all these things that were told in the media by the governments, they're lies. COVID, lie. Vaccines masquerading, or bioweapons masquerading as vaccines, lie. Ukraine, Putin is Hitler, lie. October 7th, Gaza, lie. We need to see through these deceptions and assume that what they're telling us is a lie. If Nancy Pelosi tells me that Putin is Hitler, I need to believe the opposite. And it's just not, it didn't just happen. You look back in history, 9/11, lie. Tonkin Gulf incident, lie. Sinking of the Lusitania, people died, but it was engineered. The bombing of the Maine and Havana Harbor, the shelling of Fort Sumter to kick off the Civil War. This is a pattern that these people have used successfully for, I just talked about 170 years of history. We could probably go back millennia and see how people's behavior is manipulated. So that's what we need to be aware of. And as we do that, prepare as best we can with what talents and resources we have, and trust the Lord with the rest.
That's pretty much all we can do. And you know, and other micro examples we can go on. You know, the Michigan Whitmer case was the FBI operation, right. J6, and so many, yep, smaller events. It's just they're lying all the time. And what really gets me with these little, you know, over the weekend, these Western commentators with big accounts, and it's like they're talking about Russia doing the false flag. I'm like, I would take you guys serious with that if you acknowledge the Western false flags, which they say, nope,
right,
never happened. And I'm like, okay, you're not being objective here. This is truly, you're not being objective. And so this is why I like doing what I'm doing here with this podcast. I get people like yourself on. Lately, I'm, you know, these are master classes, basically. Right. More people are learning here through the internet than in my classrooms in the ivory towers, where it was controlled, and I would face censorship. And so thank you, Chris, for coming on again. The links are in the description, familyprepplan.info. Keep doing the great work that you're doing.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed this Geopolitics and Empire podcast. The website is geopoliticsandempire.com, and I encourage you to sign up for the free email list that goes out with each podcast and every weekend with a collection of news headlines. The newsletter and website are our last lines of defense. We're being censored and deplatformed. It's nearly impossible to find Geopolitics and Empire on the Google search engine. We've been blacklisted. YouTube frequently takes down our videos with strikes. Facebook restricts our page. Reddit and Twitter take down posts. And after the Associated Press mentioned Geopolitics and Empire in a 2021 article co-written with NATO, our Patreon account was terminated. Vimeo also terminated our Pro account. The best free way to help Geopolitics and Empire is to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or elsewhere and subscribe to all of our media channels. You can find the video broadcast now on 5 platforms: Odyssey, Rockfin, Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. You can find the audio broadcast on the podcast ecosystem: SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, and so on. My current favorite social media channels are Twitter and Telegram. But you can also find us on Gab, MeWe, Minds, Float, VK, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Finally, Geopolitics and Empire is in dire need of funding to continue. You can leave a donation, purchase a consultation with the host, or become a member to receive additional benefits. We also produce a weekly broadcast called Dissident Thinker for members and Rockfin subscribers only. We will continue to fight the good fight, come hell or high water. Thank you for listening.